don't repeat everything. Sean Mice here for Platinum Coaching. And, you know, I just want to create the opportunity. One of the things that I've been doing over the last couple of weeks, and this is really a culmination of studying the market, really the last couple of months have been real eye-opening for me in terms of kind of observing some of the changes that are going on in the internet marketing world. And I think we're hitting a little bit of a cusp in internet marketing. And I think we're getting ready to see a big shift. Realistically, we've probably already seen it, but a lot of, you know, whenever you have a shift in something, I mean, even if you have a shift in the stock market and, you know, the Dow goes from 12,000 to 10,000, that's a big shift. But let's face it, 80% of the trades after a few days are still going on as normal. But you look at the market and you go, wow, this is kicking off a recession. And so what I believe that there's some huge changes that have occurred recently and that are beginning to really dig into occurring in the internet marketing world. And I think that a lot of them have already occurred, but because of the fact that not everybody hears the news when it happens, you know, it's kind of like if the price of gold goes down, but, you know, 80% of the people that own gold have it tucked away in a safety deposit box and they're not going to sell it anyway, frankly, it doesn't make a difference to them. And that's a lot of the way that the internet marketing world is. If what you're doing right now is converting at 2.9%, it used to convert at 3%, and you're still paying all your bills and you're happy and you just need one more client, then you don't even realize that there's a difference. And then 2 years down the road, all of a sudden everything caves in, and you go, wow, that happened fast. But it didn't happen fast. It actually happened over the last couple of years, but you didn't know it because your gold was in a safety deposit box. And I just think that and I've shared it with you, and obviously we can talk about it today as much as you folks want to or don't want to because it's your call. But, you know, I just think, and I've talked about it a lot, there's a lot of things that are changing in the internet marketing world. And one of the things that I've done over the last couple of weeks is I've started to write about it. And I'll tell you, when I write about stuff, when I talk about it, if I take the time here to teach on something for 30 minutes or 45 minutes that I've never taught on, then obviously there's hopefully aha moments or there's a deeper level of understanding or there's something that you can change in your business. And, you know, sometimes I even understand things more clearly once I teach on them. So I'll make my notes and then I'll teach on it. And then a lot of times I'll get into some anecdote or some deeper information that's not in my notes. Then sometimes it's even revealing for me what I'm sharing and what I'm teaching, especially when I get into the psychology and the why and all of that I know that some of you folks like. And it really happens at a deeper level even for me when I write, because when I write, it's editable. So, you know, if I do a recording, it's 45 minutes. Generally, when I'm done, I'm done. I don't go back and go, oh, I forgot to tell something and go add it on. It's very rare do I do that. But with writing, you know, you can look at it, and when you get done, you can say, you know, hey, that topic wasn't deep enough. Let me go back. Let me rework that. Maybe my thoughts aren't complete on it. And so for those of you that read my emails and don't just show up on the phone call, you know that I've really been writing about some of these deeper things lately, really getting into this idea about the internet marketing space, that the online world is becoming much more like our offline world. You know, it's not so anonymous anymore, and it's not so commodity-driven. And in terms of where people are really investing money, what's happening is because of the fact that the internet marketing world is becoming so much more competitive. You know, 5 years ago, there were maybe three people selling dog training materials, you know, maybe 30 people, but now there's 3,000, but, you know, same number of people have dogs. And so what's happened is you get a, kind of a polarization in the market. You get 90% of the people in a particular market are just dropping their prices. They're trying to compete on price, and they're dropping their prices right back into a day job. They're just dropping their prices right down into a day job. They're selling more and more, less and less, and at some point their business is just going to go poof and it's going to evaporate. And they don't even see it coming. They don't even see it coming. And, you know, they go out, they get a new car payment or something because next month they're hopefully going to get some more subscribers. And poof, everything goes away. But there's a portion of the market that it's not happening for. And what's happening is because of the fact that so many people are out there in every niche driving prices down, because they're driving prices down, they can't participate anymore. They don't have the time to be able to communicate. They're not creating new material or selling what they sold 5 years ago. They're focusing so much on automation. And I know I talk about a lot about automation, and there's places that are important for it, and I think I talked about that last week. They're spending so much time on automation that they're automating themselves right out of the business. And what's happening is the small percentage of people in a particular niche that are still interacting with humans, you're going to find that they are getting a bigger portion of the marketplace. And because what's happening is the people are beginning to flee from the low-end provider that's just providing information. Because the truth of the matter is you can get the information you need for free online anyway now. I mean, for most common subjects, you can go to YouTube and learn whatever you need for free. You know, what's the purpose in physically buying training? Well, one purpose is to have it all in one place, but the primary purpose is to get it from the person that you love and respect, to get it from the person that you trust and respect. And if a marketplace, if most of your competitors in our marketplace are just driving prices down and throwing cookie-cutter material in, there's no love, there's no trust, and there's no respect. And at some point, those clients are going to go bye-bye. Now, what that's doing is it's creating a vacuum in the marketplace that people who genuinely care, who genuinely interact, who genuinely invest and spend time in the marketplace are going to be the ones that have the demand in their particular business. Now, because of this, demand is going to go up and up and up for that personal interaction. What I believe is going to happen is that for those few individuals that are willing to not automate and to actually be human in the relationship, they'll be able to charge a higher price. You know, and we see this in the offline world. You know, we really see this in the offline world. We see these big discount retailers. They're all the big box stores. You know, you can buy everything for half price if you go to their big box store. And, you know, you can buy a pair of jeans for $15, and, you know, you can buy a flannel shirt for $12. I mean, you know, the prices on let's just say clothing, but the prices on commodities are going down and down and down. The funny thing is, at the very same time that you can buy jeans for $15 at the local big box store, at the very same time, we're finding, you know, a few years ago, unless you shopped at a high-end boutique, a high-end pair of jeans was, what, $79, $89 5 years ago. Unless they were out there, but you really had to go to a high-end boutique. Not anymore. You can walk through the local mall, and multiple brands are selling between $119 and $200 for pretty much the same pair of jeans that you can buy at the big box store for $15. The question is why? You know, and we can be cute about it, and we can say, oh, well, the teenagers are willing to pay for that little logo on the back. And that's a poor portion of it. There is a portion of it. There are people that will buy just because of the logo. And I don't believe that's all of it. In fact, I believe it's a small part of it. And what I believe is that purchasing that nicer pair of jeans at a higher price at not necessarily a boutique store, but in the mall, to just in a normal store in the mall that has a clerk behind the counter, you can try on the jeans, you can walk out of the fitting room, and they can tell you, you know what, those jeans look really bad on you. Try these on instead. And so to have that human interaction is worth the additional $185 for that pair of jeans. And so what does that mean? It means when you buy that $200 pair of jeans, you're not buying a $15 pair of jeans plus a logo that's worth $185. You're buying a $15 pair of jeans, because that's your core value, because they're made somewhere for $3 by slave labor somewhere in our world. Okay, so that $200 pair of jeans was made for $3 by slave labor somewhere in our world. So there's added value to your ship it there, so it becomes $15 at a big box store. And then the logo, the emotional value of the logo, maybe it's $25. So now we have a $40 pair of jeans. It's selling for $200. Why? It's selling for $200 because there's a human that cares. Not only is there a human that cares, but everybody that you know that associates with you in your realm knows that if you bought this pair of jeans, you bought it from the woman that knows, that you value the experience over going to a big box store, standing in a long line to get a commodity item in a stinky place with bad lighting, with stinky people standing all around you. You value the experience, and you're willing to pay $160 more for it. And obviously, you may not be into $200 jeans, but there's something in your life that you can relate to. I had to give something tangible there as an example. But there is something in your life that you can relate to in the offline world. So for me, it's books. You know, such a huge percentage of people are buying books discounted half price on Amazon. And, barring something phenomenal happening, boy, Amazon's a clear winner long run. I mean, really. The truth of the matter is, barring something huge happening. But why do I go to the local bookstore and purchase a physical book and pay top dollar for it? And obviously, everybody's reasons are different. And it's not because I can touch and feel the book, because I can do that at Amazon. They all touch and feel the same. As soon as they show up in my mailbox, it's the same. It sits on my bookshelf exactly the same. It feels the same in my hand. That's not why I buy it from the local bookstore. The reason I buy it from the local bookstore is that I value going into the local bookstore, picking 8 books off of the shelf, walking over to the little armchair, sitting the books next to me, and reading the first chapter or two in all 8 books, and then deciding which one book I want to take home. I value that experience. I do. That brings pleasure to me to be able to sit in that chair. As a result, I'm not only willing to pay twice as much, but I'm also willing to buy the book from that store rather than just going home and buying it online, because I know that if I don't buy the books at the store, along with everybody else that values the experience, the physical stores will go out of business, and they'll no longer be an armchair for me to sit in. So I'm willing to pay twice as much for my books to be able to pay for the pleasure of being able to sit in that armchair. So for me, that's my pleasure experience. And for each of us, there's something. And she may be asking, well, what does that have to do with the online world? The online world is a commoditized world. And that's what I'm kind of getting full circle back to. I believe that a portion of the online world is a commoditized world. In fact, maybe as much as 80 to 90% of the actual transactions online are commoditized. But the place where people are spending genuine money investing long run are with people and individuals that will create that dressing room experience where someone is able to look at you in the jeans and say, you know what? Those jeans do not look good on you. I can't let you buy those. Please try this other pair on. That's what people are looking for. People are looking for that armchair experience like I get at the bookstore. They're looking for that armchair experience. And in fact, my contention is they are looking for it now more than ever before. If you've been to a restaurant lately, you go down, you sit down at the restaurant at 12 noon, and you sit down, and I've been guilty of this before, and you have too, probably, but you look around, and 80% of the people that are sitting at the tables are all individually consumed with a texting conversation, for all we know, possibly with all the other members of their table. Now, is there anything wrong with that? I'm not making any judgment call on wrong or right. What I am saying is that our life is being so commoditized. Our relationships, if we allow them, are being reduced to some digital pixels bouncing back and forth. And so what I believe is it's creating an empty space in humans. I believe it's creating an empty space in humans. And this is an empty space that is, although it may be intertwined, but it's an empty space that is past the spiritual element. So a lot of times we talk about an unfulfilled human. Well, you're unfulfilled because there's a God shaped space inside of you, and if God's not there, you're feeling empty. This is something different, although a lot of times they're intertwined. So I just want to make sure I'm very clear here, because I don't want to answer that question in a few minutes. But the thing is here that as humans, we were created as humans for relationship, for true relationship with each other. That's why we're put on this earth. One of the reasons we're put on this earth is to be able to have true relationship. The problem is that in our society, we are slowly but surely losing true relationship. You know, when TV came out, whatever, 80, 90 years ago, you know, it was said that TV would bring families closer together. because families would be able to all do the same thing and sit in front of the TV and watch. And you know what? I'm sure that at the beginning that families grew closer. It was like a fireside experience. Families were able to grow closer. And I'm sure that for some percentage of families, in today's world, the TV actually draws them closer. But in today's world, in many homes, there's 9 TVs for 4 people, and everybody watches their own show on their own TV. And we have the same thing with the texting machines. And we have we could go on and on with all of the things that we're doing in life that we're using as substitutes for true relationship. And again, I'm not making any moral or ethical conclusion about that. All I'm saying is that because of the fact that humans need some certain level of interactional relationship, and we've taken it away. We have this TV, we have texting, we go to the big box store to buy our goods where we don't have to speak to a human. So that sometimes we might go to mobile banking because we don't want to put clothes on and actually go see a physical teller. So there's all these things that we build into our life so that we don't have to communicate with humans. The fact of the matter is our body is hardwired to communicate with humans. And so what I believe is happening in the human body is that there is a demand that is growing and growing and growing for that human interaction. They don't even know that they need it. We may not even recognize that we need it, but we need it. What happens is when you run across an individual at that gene store, at an upscale department store, at the local bookstore, when you run across that individual that makes you feel good, because there's a relationship interaction that is not occurring anywhere else. You don't even know why it feels good, but you're willing to invest more. And I believe that that's what's going to happen online. I believe that it's already happening online, and that the bulk of profits are going to occur at the place where you are willing to be interactional with individuals. You'll be able to charge a higher price, and you'll be able to be interactional with individuals. Okay, so one of the things we study in economics is that basically what happens with pricing is that in a marketplace, as supply goes up, demand goes down, and what happens is the price at which something is priced is generally something that we call marginal profit, okay, which is some profit level that approaches zero. Okay, it approaches the level at which the lowest bidder is willing to work for that profit. And so what happens is in any economic world, we see that any time that something's profitable, so coffee shops are profitable, so more and more people build coffee shops until somebody in the neighborhood begins to make zero money and has to close up shop. So that person goes out of business. The other shops make a little bit of money. Somebody else comes in and says, those shops are making money, so I'll open another shop. They open up a brand new shop. But because they have some money in the bank to live on for the first year while they're not breaking even yet, they end up running somebody else out of business. And so what happens is at every single market, when it becomes commoditized, prices go down to such a level and supply goes up to such a level that prices go down, marginal profit goes down, and at the end of the day, in a truly competitive environment, everybody's just making a working living. And you see that in small-town USA. You see that with the local hair salon. If you have a town that has one hair salon and the lady running the salon is making $200,000 a year, guaranteed at some point she won't be the only salon in town. There'll be two salons in town, and she'll take home $100,000. The other person will take home $100,000. So then you have a little upstart person that comes in, and he says, you know what, I'm willing to make $30,000 owning a hair salon. I'm going to come into the market. Well, what happens to the market? The market's worth $200,000. Divide that three ways. Each person's making $70,000. Well, two more people come into the market. The market's a $200,000 market. After a while, you've got five people making $40,000 in the market. You bring the small business down to a working wage. And when you bring that small business down to working wage, there's no more additional profit in the business. The person owning the business, if they're a physical owner-operator, they're making no more than they would simply managing a unit for someone else. Okay, that's in the offline world. I believe that the exact same thing is going to happen in the online world. In the online world of digital products, people are reducing prices lower and lower and lower, so that they can stay in business and so that they can hopefully do more business than the next guy. The problem is, in the digital market, that the actual cost of delivering the product is practically zero. You know, you might argue that bandwidth costs you 3 cents a piece, you know, so maybe it's $1 a product for you to be able to deliver a product. And so what happens is, whereas in the hair salon situation I just gave you, you know, the hair salon does 500 grand, you pay the workers so much, you buy scissors and you buy cleaning supplies for the hair, and you have a maintenance fee on the building, et cetera, and the owner's left with 100 grand. The difference with digital products is there's no cost. There's no cost to the digital product. You don't even have to have a physical office. You know, all you really need is somehow have the physical product. You can create that yourself in a week, so there's no cost but your time. You can operate with high-speed internet, which most people have anyway, and if you don't have it, you can go to the library or the coffee shop and get it for nothing. So the ability to deliver digital products is almost zero. And so what that means is, whereas in the hair salon market, if we bring the marginal profit down to a working wage, we still have $40,000 left for the person to take home. In the digital world, you could get to the point where you're selling all products for $1 and nobody's making a wage, and every full-time worker has to go back and get a regular day job, but there will always be somebody who's a college student, or there will always be some 17-year-old kid, or there will always be somebody in some city or some town, some village, in some obscure country in this world that did not have internet service a year ago, but now everybody in that town has internet service. And in that town, they make $1 a day, it feeds the whole family. They're willing to sell one digital product per day for $1, and they're able to feed their family. Why do we see the price of digital goods going down and down and down? It's this right here, because you have an unlimited supply, and even though demand is going up, it's not going up in an unlimited fashion. So what does this mean? It means that at some point, the marginal profit on selling information itself is going to go down to zero. So whereas a hair salon, if marginal profit goes down to zero, the head honcho still takes home 40 grand. But in the digital world, when marginal profit goes down to zero, nobody takes very much home at all. And so what's happening is, and some would argue it's already happened, some would argue it's happening, I might argue it's 2 years before it fully fleshed out. You know, you might be able to argue it's 10 years. It doesn't make any difference exactly when. What does matter is that I believe it's happening right now. We're at some point in this, but nobody really sees it. Nobody really sees it. Okay, now, the problem with this zero profit model is that almost 100% of the people who buy this product for $1 never use it and never get any results from it. Why? The reason is because if they only pay $1 for it, they think it's worth nothing. If they think it's worth nothing, then after the initial excitement of buying it wears off, they never study it. Because they never study it, they never get results. And so what we've got is we've got this dangerous position happening where more and more people are selling digital products that are better and better and bigger at lower and lower prices that provide no profit and drive the ordinary business person out of business, if that's their only model, and it even gets worse. Nobody's getting results from all of this training. Nobody's getting maybe 1%, but I mean 1% doesn't fuel the market. 99% of the people that buy these things are not getting results. Okay, now, because they're not getting results, because they're not getting involved, and because of the fact that 90% of the people that are selling the digital products have absolutely no idea how to use the digital product. Okay, so you've got somebody in a village in Africa, you've got somebody in a township in India, you've got somebody in the backwoods of Canada, you've got somebody in, you know, some forest in Montana, some 16-year-old kid in the forest in Montana. You've got these people selling this information for whatever it is, $1, $17, it's a really low price. They have no idea what's even in what it is that they're selling. So you can't, for two reasons, you can't learn anything from that individual. Number one, because they don't know. Number two, since you only paid them $1 or $17 or whatever the number is, because you only paid them something that is a marginal profit type of thing, they have no time for you because they're so busy selling 10,000 $1 units, they have no time left to answer your personal question. And so what's happened is anybody that wants real results, just like in the offline world, if you want clothing that's not going to fall apart, you can't go to that commodity store because a few washings and it just falls apart. So just as in the offline world, you can't buy the cheapest underwear. You can't buy the cheapest earrings. You can't buy the cheapest orthodontic work because it will all fall apart. We know that in the offline world instinctually. But in the online world, we think that because it's digital, we think that we can just pay less and less. But the problem is because they're paying less and less, because nobody's actually studying it and using it, you could actually sell something for a dollar that has nothing in it, and 90% of the people buying it wouldn't even know. And so what happens is not only is the quality of the product going down because nobody's listening to it, so there's no feedback, so nobody cares, but because of the fact that it's being sold for so little, the person selling it has no time, knowledge, or the caringness to service it. And so therefore what we're seeing is that 90% of the market is generating profit, is generating revenue at practically zero profit, and they are delivering nothing of value to the world because the value in buying a digital product is the ability to get results, but because of the fact that what it is, for reasons we've already discussed, doesn't get results, they're selling something that has no value to the end user. And so what this means is that if 90% of the market is being consumed with products that are being sold at no profit, no value, and no meaning, and get no results, the small percentage of the people that are actually human, interact in relationships, et cetera, are able to charge much more for their service than they were in the past because the demand for their help is going up. The demand for their help is going up in relationship to the market because what they're offering is becoming rarer and rarer and rarer as more and more people try to sell digital products at some point of a loss or at the minimum that they can get by with. Okay, so this is the setup. So what I've just shared with you is the setup. This is the why that all of this is occurring. Okay, so now, what's the answer? What's the answer to it? And I'll tell you what the answer is, in my opinion, the answer is, instead of positioning yourself as being a seller of information, instead of positioning yourself as being able to sell more and better information than anybody else around, I believe that the answer is to position yourself as the number one authority expert who cares and will personally interact with you in your market space. And what will happen when you position yourself as the number one authority expert in your marketplace who cares and will interact with you, then a couple of things will happen. Okay, the obvious, I already shared it with you, you can raise prices. Okay, the obvious is that people will begin to seek you out. Okay, now, that's where I want to go. People will begin to seek you out because 90% of the market, or maybe in your niche, 95% or 85% of the market, is not meeting the needs. If you're one of the few that are left over that is willing to meet the needs, not only will your prices go up, but people will become naturally attracted to work with you as long as you put some specific things in place. People will become naturally attracted to work with you, and instead of you having to go out there and compete with the other 90% of the information sellers and beg and plead for people to buy from you at the lowest price possible, instead, you'll simply be able to position yourself as a light in a dark world, as a beacon on a rocky shore. And if you'll simply do some simple positioning that will allow other people to see you as that, and then you do a great job of making that interaction happen, making that relationship happen, making that results happen, then in my opinion, what will happen will be word of mouth, referrals, discussion about you, organic things online, and other things that kind of float into this world, this intangible world, those things will actually grow, And I'm almost scared to use the word become viral because that can carry such a connotation that I won't use it. So I won't use the word viral, but since I've kind of seeded you with the word, you can kind of see it in your mind that because of the fact that you are better and more interactional and you get more results for people, that as soon as people begin working with you, they realize that they never want to go back to the other way, in the same way that once you step up to a $100 pair of jeans that fits like a glove, once you step up to a $200 pair of shoes that doesn't fit your feet, hurt your feet anymore, you know, you may be 45 years old and your feet are starting to hurt, you're blaming it on old age. I did that a few years ago. I blamed it on old age. I said, I'm getting older, my feet are starting to hurt. I'm going to live with that for the next 40 years of my life. Then my wife said, you know, those are the same kind of shoes you were wearing when you were 16 years old. Your feet need a different kind of shoe. So she introduced me to shoes that range from $100 to $200. And I hear there's shoes out there I'll be wearing one day that are $500 to $1,000 that are even nicer. Okay? But right now, I've graduated to $200 pair of shoes, and I put my feet into them. And you know what? I don't buy $35 pairs of shoes anymore. Uh-uh. I buy $200 pair of shoes and put $100 insoles in them. I won't go back. Now, you may look at me and you go, you know what? That's really silly. But that's my example. Think about it for you. What will you not go back to? What in your life will you not go back to? And if you'll simply relate that to the online world, once someone interacts with you at a high level and actually gets results, they will never go back to purchasing the same information in a commoditized fashion somewhere else online. And so what I want to leave you with right now, so this is, you know, just really kind of leading into this idea of positioning. What I want to leave you with right now is the idea that if you're going to succeed in the next 5 to 10 years online, and you're not just looking to be a fly-by-night and make some quick money for 90 days, you want to really succeed in the long run over the next 5 to 10 years, I believe that the number one most important thing for you to do today is to, number one, identify exactly what it is that makes you special. Why are you special as opposed to everybody else in your market? What makes you better than everybody else in the market? And why should anybody work with you instead of someone else? Figure those things out, write them on a sheet of paper, know exactly what they are, and then begin to build your web presence in such a way that it supports those three things.